Translation. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees enjoyed transcendental bliss upon seeing the face of Jagannath. This continued to midday. Text 217. Sveda kampa ashu jala vahe sarvakshana darshanera lope prabhu kare samvarana. As usual, there were transcendental, blissful symptoms in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. He perspired and trembled, and a constant flow of tears fell from his eyes. However, the Lord checked these tears so they would not disturb his seeing the face of the Lord. 218. Madhye madhye boga lage madhye darashana bogera samaye prabhu karena kirtana. Their looking at the face of Lord Jagannath was interrupted only when he was offered food. Afterwards, they would again look upon his face. When the food was being offered to the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his kirtan. Text 219. Darshana anande prabhu sabe par sarila bhakta ganna majjana karit prabhura laya gela. Feeling such great pleasure upon seeing the face of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgot everything. The devotees, however, took him to his lunch at noontime. Text 220. Pratakale ratayacha habika janiya sevaka lagaya boga dviguna kariya. Knowing that the car festival would take place in the morning, all the servants of Lord Jagannath were doubling their offerings of food. And rightly so. Text 221. Gundicha marjana lila sankshipe kahila yahadeki shuni papira krishna bhakti hoila. I have briefly described the pastimes of the Lord in washing and cleansing the Gundicha temple. By seeing or hearing these pastimes, even sinful men can awaken their Krishna consciousness. And text 222, the last verse of the chapter. Shirupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 12, describing the washing and cleansing of the Gundicha temple. And I will read the chapter summary, which isn't very long, because there was no purport. The cleansing of the Gundicha temple. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes this chapter as follows. The king of Orissa, Maharaj Pratap Rudra, tried his best to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees informed the Lord about the king's desire, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not agree to see him. At that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu devised a plan and he sent a piece of the Lord's outward garment to the king. The next day, when Ramananda Roy again entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the king, the Lord, denying the request, asked Ramananda Roy to bring the king's son before him. The prince visited the Lord dressed like a Vaishnava, and this awakened remembrance of Krishna. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the son of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the Gundicha house before the Rathyatra took place. He then took his bath at Indrajumna and partook of prasad in the garden nearby. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the temple of Gundicha, some Gaudiya Vaishnavas washed the lotus feet of the Lord and drank the water. This incident is very significant, for it awoke within the devotee ecstatic love. Then again, the son of Advaita Prabhu named Gopal fainted during kirtan, And when he did not see, and when he did not come to his senses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favored him by awakening him. There was also some humorous talk between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu during prasad. Advaita Prabhu said that Nityananda Prabhu was unknown to anyone and that it was not the duty of a householder brahmana to accept dinner with a person unknown in society. In answer to this humorous statement, Sri Nityananda Prabhu replied that Advaita Acharya was a monist and that one could not know how his mind could be turned by eating with such an impersonal monist. The conversation of these two Prabhus, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, carried a deep meaning that only an intelligent man can understand. After all, the Vaishnavas finished their luncheon. Swarupa Damodar and others took their prasad within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took great pleasure when he saw the Jagannath deity after the deity's retirement. At that time, he was accompanied by all the devotees, and all of them were very pleased. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Miratam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Napitam Yena Putale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shita Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivashakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabandhu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavinibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're feeling a little embarrassed to give class before such great Sankirtan warriors as Keshav Maharaj, Govinda Prabhu and Chaitanya Vallabha. But here we are. Luckily, I brought Radha Raman along with me as support. And this is actually the first time that Radha Raman's ever given class at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So please offer us your heartfelt blessings that we may suitably honor this divine literature of Chaitanya Charitamrita for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. Thank you. So we had a very late night last night, and we were supposed to discuss the theme of the class. It didn't really take place, that discussion, in any great depth, but we spoke briefly, and one of the topics that came up was this theme of the desire of Maharaj Prataparuja to see Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya's, although internally willing, externally displaying a strong desire not to see the king. But more than that was the devotee's enthusiasm to bring the king to Lord Chaitanya, to somehow find a way so that Maharaj Prataparudra could get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So that theme was very notable because obviously we've just finished the Prabhupada Marathon 2024. And we've been hearing about the heroics of the devotees at Bhaktivedanta Manor, knocking smashing their target of 51,000 doors. What was the final number? 54,000 or some outrageous figure, 55. Some outrageous number of doors being knocked. So congratulations to everybody who took part in that. Devotees all over the world were engaging in their respective marathons. And we had our own marathon in ISKCON London, and with some pride, I can say it was the biggest marathon in the history of ISKCON London this year. Which is nothing to do with me, by the way. But a lot to do with our Sangitan leaders, and to do with Radha Raman, because he was also Sankirtan leader in the past at a time in ISKCON London's history where book distribution was at its zenith, and has only really been rivaled this year, where certain records were broken, such as the distribution of 1,000 Bhagavad Gitas in one day on the street, hand to hand, which was the first time we've ever done that. And maybe others have done it before, but you haven't heard about it. We had the record number of devotees participating in the marathon, over 430 devotees on the street, even if they did just one Bhagavad Gita, but it was counted in Club 508. We were trying to get 508 devotees, so it's something to aim for next year. But still, it was a record breaker. So those three records for us was a big deal, but being reflective about the principle of Sankirtan and what we are doing, the greatest humanitarian work. Yesterday I gave a class and it was about Jiva Goswami, and it reminded me of the Radha Damodar Mandir and how it was the original Sankirtan headquarters. So according to the historians, that temple, Radha Damodar Mandir, had a huge library at one time, the greatest Vaishnav, Gaudiya Vaishnav library of the time. And the six Goswamis, however many Goswamis were available at a particular time, would gather there and scheme and plot and dream about how they are going to spread this Krishna consciousness far and wide. How are we going to deliver this message into the hands of the lost souls? We know that Jiva Goswami, from his Sankirtan headquarters at Radha Damodar Mandir, also organized the first Sankirtan party to go out. Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit. He sent them out on a cart with full of books, the highest treasure in the three worlds, which of course we know was detected by that king in Vishnupur, who stole the books. But that first Sankirtan party emanated out of Radha Damodar Mandir. That was the first Sankirtan headquarters. But we know that after the deities of Vrindavan were removed to Rajasthan, and many of them stayed there forever, well, at least up until now. But we also have heard that that particular deity, Radha Damodar, was transported back to Vrindavan. And the Sevites at that temple, for evidence, say that Pratibhu Murtis are always made smaller than the original deities. And so the original deities in Rajasthan are bigger than the Pratibhu Murtis we see in Vrindavan of the various Radha Govindaji, Radha Gopinath, and Madan Mohan, and so forth. But the Radha Damodar deities in Vrindavan are bigger than the deities in Rajasthan. So that is evidence that the original deities were brought back to Radha Damodar Mandir. Those are the original deities. We know that Damodar was crafted by the very hand of Rupa Goswami himself. Even though he'd never carved a deity before in his entire life, and had no skills in deity carvature. That's a word. In a dream, Damodar himself came and said, "Don't worry, I will show you how to carve." And so he just One day he was bathing in the Yamuna, and there he saw a very unusual stone. He picked it up and he realized this was the stone that would be carved into Damodar, and he carved it himself and rewarded it to Jiva Goswami. And it was installed, and Radha and Lalita Shakhi came later on, and from the river as well, Jamuna. So these Sankirtan headquarters are very important for us, because they served, after Radha Damodar came back, the original Murtis came back to Vrindavan. It appears that that library by that time had been lost. The greatest library of Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, due to the force of time, had been diminished and mostly lost. Nobody really knows what happened to it. Some remains. And there's also, of course, you have the Granta Samadhi with those books that nobody is allowed to read because we are definitely not qualified to do so. So much is in this obscure age of Kali, hidden from us. But Srila Prabhupada revived at Radha Damodar the Sankirtan headquarters again. And from those headquarters in that tiny little room where Prabhupada did his translating, his writing of the first canto in three volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course the second room where he took prasadam and overlooked Rupa Goswami's Samadhi Mandir. That little room, isn't it amazing how from one tiny little room so much can happen? From one little Sankirtan headquarters, so much influence upon the world can be manifest. So I was thinking about that, how important it is to have a Sankirtan headquarters. And I consider that one of the reasons for the success of the marathon this year at our temple, the Shishi Radha Landanishwar Mandir, was that Bhakta Mateo, our new Sankirtan leader, established a Sankirtan headquarters in the temple. So, despite lack of space, and anyone who's stayed there for any length of time will know, there's very little space to maneuver. There's also little mental space to maneuver as well. But we established a Sankirtan headquarters. We gave one room over to the Sankirtan department. And it's amazing. And so that room is utilized not only for strategizing, plotting and planning how to spread this movement far and wide and deliver this timeless message into the hands of those who've completely forgotten about Krishna. But it's also used for deep sadhana, for conversations, sadhu sangha. It's a safe space, it's a pure space. That Sankirtan headquarters, like in Prabhupada's rooms at Radha Damodar, is so precious to us, having that sacred space. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki. So where does this tie into the situation between Maharaj Pratapurudra and Lord Chaitanya? And the devotee's desire to bring the two together, to override social considerations, to bring Maharaj Pratapurudra to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Well, that really is the kindness of the devotees, the kindness of the Sankirtan devotees, who through their own putting themselves into great personal difficulties, whether it's the cold or the wind or the rain or the humiliation of being denied, unable to stop anybody on the street, being abused verbally or sometimes even physically, whatever it may be, devotees are willing, because they know the purpose of the Lord, to act in a way even kinder than the Lord, Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita. Because the devotees who understand the purpose of the Lord are willing to not only pluck the low-hanging fruits and give Krishna consciousness to those who are very sincere and those who are very enthusiastic, those who come forward and say, please, give me the mercy. Certainly those are also should be delivered the message of Mahaprabhu. But Lord Nityananda takes it a step further. by his example, he says, no, I will not only give this message to those who come forward and ask, please deliver me the message of Lord Chaitanya. I'm already a pious person living a pious lifestyle. No, Lord Nityananda is in the mood of, let's give this message to those who don't want it at all, who are completely averse to Lord Chaitanya's message, who hate the Vaishnavas, who find the Vaishnavas despicable. Those are the people we should give this message to. Let's devise a way, a novel means by which those people can also be delivered. That's the kindness, because it is said that Lord Chaitanya, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, the kindest, the most merciful incarnation. But his emanation, his expansion, Lord Nityananda, exhibits an even greater kindness, even though that's impossible, inconceivably so. He delivers an even greater degree of kindness than even Lord Chaitanya can manifest. After all, Lord Chaitanya is bound by the outward dress of a sannyas. There are certain acts that Lord Chaitanya cannot perform, such as meeting with a king. Very controversial for a sannyasi to meet with a king. This materialistic association is not right, is not proper, apparently, in social circles. But Lord Nityananda's mood is different, and of course his social position, as we just heard from Advaita Acharya, is unknown. So we see in the case of Jagaya Madhai, two debauchees, two lowest of the low. Even they became qualified due to their most fallen position for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Patita Pavana. Lord Jagannath is Patita Pavana. Lord Chaitanya is Patita Pavana. And Narottam Das Thakur sings that if you are truly Patita Pavana, then I am the most fallen, and therefore my claim is first. I deserve your mercy first because I am the most fallen. And that is actually correct. The most fallen deserve the most mercy. So therefore extra effort is required for those who are the most fallen, who have no piety, who have no background or any connection to a spiritual culture, who have given their lives to debauchery and intoxication and all types of sin. Those people are actually the first on the list to receive mercy. And that is the mood of the Sankirtan devotees, who intervene without being asked, without being invited, even unwantedly, into the lives of those people. You stand out on the street because they won't come to the temple. No chance, not a cat's chance in hell. Will they ever step inside of a temple? But they'll be on the street doing their materialistic activities. So that's where we can find them. So the devotee is willing to go out and find those people and place the books into their hands. Get them to do a little devotional service unknowingly. To slowly start to build up their eternal bhakti bank account. So I was thinking about that, about the kindness of the devotees, the Sankirtan devotees, who are so glorious. And I have so much respect and appreciation for those devotees who take that austerity. And many amongst you here do that, who take on personal great discomfort to go out and meet those people and to give them this message which is unwanted by them. Yes. So thank you for everybody participating actively in the preaching field of the Sankirtan movement. Not only is it beneficial for the fallen conditioned souls, but it is also beneficial for those who are preachers in the field. It is highly beneficial. And I noticed in the purport to verse 135 in this chapter, Prabhupada refers to the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and how he highlights different obstacles on the path to pure devotion, which are cleared away through the cleansing of the heart, such as we saw in the Gundicha temple. One which particularly stood out for me is the word jiva hingsa, envy of other living entities. And Prabhupada writes as follows. The word jiva hingsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. So the word jiva hingsa actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. So we can understand that the opposite of enviousness of living entities is to preach to them. That's our kindness to them. If you're not envious of a person, you'll be happy to share the highest gift with them without any expectation of reward, and even willing to subject yourself to humiliation. That's the highest form of not being envious. Preaching work is described as paropakar, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Mayavadis, he is also engaged in material activity. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic or yogi or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic, but all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulative principles of not desire and not desire, illicit sex, gambling, intoxicants, and meat. Yeah, so this part of being non-envious. And we also hear Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita even says that non-violence, which of course violence is a form of envy. You can't be violent upon a person if you're not envious of them. To be non-violent is to give another person Krishna consciousness. So this is the Sankirtan devotees. So you are all glorious. And thank you so much for your sacrifice. And looking forward to spending the Sankirtan festival together. I hear it's going to be bigger and better than ever before. Who knows? Maybe it can be in the Haveli this year. So you have a bit more space for everyone. Because also we can more suitably glorify devotees when the deities are not. Because it's actually an offense to over-glorify somebody in front of the deities. That's in Nectar of Devotion. It's also an offense to bow down anywhere. Controversial point, but I just reading it today. It's an offense to bow down to. Well, so it is that the guru shouldn't accept obeisances before the deities. Whether the devotee wants to offer obeisances, I suppose that's up to the devotee. Wants to offer obeisances, but the guru is not supposed to accept obeisances before the deity. It's just worth thinking about. It might be nice because you have big kirtans in the Haveli, wild kirtans of all the Sankirtan devotees spinning, dancing, twirling, jumping, showing all their party tricks. Could be quite amazing, no? What do you think? Anyway, I don't want to put any pressure on you guys. We're completely cooperative and most fallen. I don't even deserve to be speaking. I'll get before you all at all, so you don't have to listen to anything I say. So at this point, I'll happily hand it over to Radha Raman Prabhu to speak from the platform of sanity. Thank you very much.
Sanity or serenity, send everyone to sleep. Well, it's been 24 years since I said anything here. And as Dharmar Prabhu said, I've never spoken here in kind of class form. I spoke for the last time at a marathon festival here, and I think it was beginning of 2001. or beginning of 2002, actually, because the next year we actually had the festival in ISKCON London, which was great for us, but I guess in another sense it's not so great, because if the Sankirtan festival is in ISKCON London, it means that it's not a lot of Sankirtan devotees, because we should have so many Sankirtan devotees that they don't fit in ISKCON London or Studio 108 or anywhere. There are so many that we struggle to fit them into the Haveli. Certainly the temple room here is bigger. So that was the last time I spoke here in 2002. But actually, the thing that my mind always goes back to is 11 years before then, which was the very first time that I came here for the Sankirtan festival. And His Holiness Sri Ramaraj was giving class. And if I can just say one thing about that, I've personally found, even though Maharaj mainly hasn't been personally present here for the Sankirtan festival, but somehow or other, somewhere, whether it's from Hungary, whether it's from Mayapur, he gives a yearly class after the marathon. There was one that he did just a few days ago, and I always find that the most meaningful class of the year. It seems to, maybe it's just a tradition that I got into starting in 1991, and I'll talk more about that in a minute and what was said. I still remember what was said. For some other, that class every year is very, very meaningful, and gives us something to think about that's like a theme for the year. This year's theme seemed to be like having faith in the order of Guru, and that the impossible can be achieved. And certainly after the goals that were achieved in the marathon this year, both in ISKCON London, Soho, and here, then to double it or increase 20%, whatever it is, that's going to be quite something. But we have to have faith in the order of Guru. But that particular marathon, the first time I was here, the first time I was, Sri Ramaraj was sitting here, and he sang that bhajan and to that melody, so I kind of did the same. Not with the same potency, obviously, but still it brought that remembrance. And he spoke on different verses, but at the epicenter of those verses was this one from the seventh chapter of Adi Lila, that the characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that love, that storehouse of love, certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. In this way, Sri Panchatattva, reading on, themselves danced again and again, and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen, and in this way they distributed love of Godhead. See, because he'd read a few verses. In those days, the CC class was, you'd read a few verses and speak. So he was reading these verses. So the next verse. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was fit and who was not fit, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no such conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. Yeah, actually, he read all of those verses, because I remember he read this verse as well, the next one. But although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. And this is one of Shiva Maharaj's favorite verses, because he was always making the point that, you know, just see if we actually go out to meet people on Harinam or on book distribution, the supply of mercy increases hundreds of times. And I could see it as a reality, because I just joined the temple a few months before, and I was quite mental, as they say. And the hardest thing was chanting Hare Krishna. And the easiest thing was taking prasadam. And even that was difficult in the beginning, because I had various health diets and I couldn't eat this and I couldn't eat that. Eventually that kind of went away. And because of the time, place and circumstance in which we lived at the time, it was crisis mode, and sometimes you'd have to go out on a marathon just to save the temple. I remember one time temple president went out and said, well, it was a Saturday morning, he said, he went out with his wife on book distribution, he said, well, today everybody just go for broke, because the temple's broke, so just go for broke. So those were the days. And somehow though we survived by Prabhupada's grace, by Krishna's grace. But I was kind of scared of the whole thing, and in those days it wasn't quite as extreme as the days of Tribhuvanath Prabhu, but still devotees were getting arrested. Our leading Sankirtan devotee actually got knocked down on a zebra crossing in Hounslow. You know, these kind of things were just normal for the time. So I was a little scared. I didn't really want to go out. So that first marathon, 1990, Murli Manohar Prabhu went out. He was brave. I wasn't so brave, so I kind of stayed behind doing temple services, cleaning. And so that was how people started. They would like do cleaning and whatever, but various hints were dropped that, you know, maybe you should go out on Sankirtan. And if you really want temple president's mercy, then you should go out on Sankirtan, and then and you can come to the Sankirtan meetings, and you can, you know, like that. But I was a little scared, I was a little timid, so I didn't do it, so I just served the Sankirtan devotees that year, served prasadam, took them books, but something was happening, and that something that was happening fully manifests in this very temple room on the first Saturday of January, 1991, where we had the most, you know, indescribable kirtan I've ever seen, where the kind of thing that you were describing, that you were envisioning happening in the Haveli, was happening kind of on steroids right here in the temple room. And it was, I don't know if anyone here, maybe Ramana Shringapu remembers those days. I haven't looked in detail at everyone and who's sitting here, so I don't know how long everyone's been around. But yeah, that was a wild kirtan. You had to be pretty strong just to kind of stay in the game. And I remember one time, it wasn't actually that year, but it just, you know, sometimes you can do that, you can put things from different years together to kind of, so it wasn't quite from the same year, but it was like in the same spirit. A certain personality came down from Scotland with the devotees, and because one of the things Bhaktivedanta Manor was very famous for is the Mangalati sweets, courtesy of Mother Kalangana. The great Mother Kalangana, such a wonderful Vaishnav. And the proof of her bhakti was in those Mangalati sweets, which are unique, I think, all over the world. So anyway, so the devotees came down from Scotland, and the leader from Scotland, Prentham President of Scotland, came, and they brought down a garland of Mangalarti sweets, the biggest Mangalarti sweets you've ever seen. And they put it on his neck, and then he ripped it off his neck and then just took the sweets and threw them out. And the devotees would dive to get those sweets. It was quite got quite dangerous in here. We did have a few injuries. But those were the days. And so I understood that the devotees were experiencing something. And Shiva Maharaj read these verses, and it was just what I needed to hear, because I kind of understood what had happened, that the devotees had been out on the marathon, and as a result of it, they had become ecstatic. And even though I personally hadn't experienced it so much that year because I hadn't been out, but I understood the point, as Prabhupada has said, that this movement runs on the same principles as what we're hearing here. Because after all, as we're here in the ninth chapter, and probably the most famous one-line purport in history, that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a branch of the Chaitanya tree. And then Lord Chaitanya speaks to all the branches of the Chaitanya tree and says, distribute this Krishna consciousness movement everywhere. People are hungry, people are bereft of mercy. So distribute these fruits. How can I distribute them alone? Therefore, I order every man in the universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. And then it's described the descendants of the tree were very happy to get this order directly from the Lord. And then I realized, actually, that includes us, because this ISKCON is a branch of the Chaitanya tree, so he's speaking to us. And so I understood that this is what the devotees had done, the ones that were brave enough to go out and, like Dhamma Mahaprabhu was saying, experience the humiliation, abuse, because, as I said, it wasn't quite like the Tribhuvana Prabhu era, but it was still pretty rough in those days, actually. You know, the early 90s. And it could get quite, you know, a little tricky out there. Police vans would regularly show up and take devotees away. And we nearly got arrested in Cardiff before the days of ISKCON Wales, when in the days when Manu and Soho were fighting over who owned Wales. If anyone remembers those days, if you in the audience remember those days, because so everything south of the M4 belonged to Soho Street, everything north of the M4 belonged to the Manor. But what did you do with what happened, what was in between? So there was fights over various places in Wales. It's remarkable, really, because when you consider what's going on in Wales now, and to think that once upon a time the Manor and Soho were fighting over Wales. And then we took it in turns to go there. And then I remember being in Cardiff and one time nearly getting arrested in the morning on travelling Sankirtan, because, you know, we were out there, you know, because, you know, you used to have bucket baths in those days. And so we were out there, and then the neighbours or people were in some car park, but, you know, the lights started going on, you know, different houses, and then the next thing was the police came. And the police looked completely shocked, like we'd just come from Mars or something. And I remember my Sankirtan leader saying, he said, God, this is really strange. He said, it's like they'd never seen men have a shower before. I can't go into more details than that because of where we are, but I think you get the gist of it. Those were the days. But still, the devotees that had braved the elements, gone through all of those kind of things, they were ecstatic on the Sankirtan festival. And because it was such a wonderful marathon this year, then I expect that wherever we do it, whether it's here or whether it's in the Haveli, it's going to be a kirtan to remember. Yeah, actually, I'm getting so enthused about the idea that there was an online seminar I was going to attend that weekend, which was booked a long time in advance. But I'm thinking of changing it now to the next week so I can come and at least witness what goes on, even if my health doesn't allow me to fully do the spins anymore. But yeah, so this is the mercy that's available. And as Dal Mahaprabhu was saying, that mercy goes to the most fallen. And I guess in those days, you know, especially certainly speaking from, you know, the Soho Street point of view, the Soho Street side of the river, south of the M4 or wherever. Yeah, we even used to have these kind of disputes about whose zone Camden Town was in, and it was like where. And technically the manor had this side of Oxford Street, and then we had that side of Oxford Street. Let's see. Anyway. So, yeah, those were the days. But speaking from the Soho Street side, it was like we were pretty rough characters. A lot of us were, I'm not saying everyone, different devotees came from different backgrounds, but at least several of us, myself included, came from backgrounds where there was a lot of addiction. So, just in Dal Mahaprabhu's point about the mercy going over the most fallen, where you kind of realize that you need it the most. And, you know, sometimes we look back now, and devotees look back now on those times, or the younger devotees look back now on those times and think, well, wasn't it amazing that devotees went out that all those hours every day. It was like you went to go out like 8 hours every day. Like you'd leave at 9 o'clock, come finish at 5:30, take the train back, and so there was a lot of devotees going out. So only the top devotees could work in the local areas, and the sort of lesser ones like myself had to kind of travel an hour out, an hour back, and had to finish at 5:30. If the train was at 5:29 and the next one is at 6:29, then you have to wait for the 6:29 and just hope that there was some evening prasadam left. I adjusted that little detail when I became Sangaton leader. And then we'd get to 5:29. But it sounds very extreme, and you know, when devotees hear about it today, they say, yeah, that was amazing. But just speaking for myself, and I think I'm speaking for at least a few of the devotees that were around at the time, I couldn't really be sitting here now if it wasn't for that. I actually needed that, because the level of addiction was so intense that it needed an extreme dose of the mercy to actually have any hope of overcoming that. So it's a kind of a contradiction which is hard to reconcile, but just speaking personally, it's definitely a fact that I've experienced how the mercy goes to the most fallen. Now, if you go back further to Prabhupada's time, I remember, just keeping an eye on the clock, we're not, still got a few minutes. You know, Brahma Muhurta Prabhu put on this, I think he called it a symposium in 2000. And he was trying to rally all the Sankirtan devotees from Europe after Hare Krishna Maharaj left. And a lot of devotees were kind of naturally, understandably a little bit, you know, they needed support. So Brahma Muhurta Prabhu, BBT still had a lot of money in those days, so from all the Sankirtan previously, so he brought everybody together in a symposium, and he showed some special footage, and it was the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada chanting in the park with all the hippies, and I thought, my God, that's unbelievable, because you read about it in Lilamrita, and it almost sounds like a fairy tale, or some, you know what I mean, but then when you actually see it, and you see the degradation of the people. And Prabhupada just went out practically alone and just chanted in front of all of those people. And they were mad. They were absolutely I was talking about my own experience in late 80s, early 90s, but this was a whole different level. Sometimes we look back in the 60s, like in some way, yes, like I said, like some kind of fairy tale, like some kind of special time, the Beatles, all of that, but it was actually pretty scary what was going on, the degradation. And the whole of society could have just gone crazy, and Prabhupada was chanting Hare Krishna in front of all of those people. And, you know, we read in the Leelamrita that, you know, one time somebody actually came up to him with a knife, or came up to him like, and, you know, Prabhupada got him to, you know, to take the apple, but anything could have happened. And yet, some of those personalities that Prabhupada was chanting to, preaching to, became devotees, and some of those devotees became leaders of our movement and did wonderful things. So another theme that we picked up in our brief discussion in this chapter was certainly in that early part of the chapter, it was really very noticeable how the devotees of Lord Chaitanya were trying so hard to give Maharaj Pratiparudra the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to link him with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in one sense you can't compare Maharaj Pratiparudra to the, you know, people sort of coming around in the 60s, but the principle is there, that we try to introduce as many people as possible into the network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Akhandadi Prabhu, who, you know, is the temple president here, you all no doubt know of, even if you haven't met him personally. But he was giving some talk, I think, in Wales, when they just got the temple. And he was saying that, yeah, somehow that's our mission to reach out to everybody. And the best thing you can do, once you've attracted somebody in, I don't know if I'm getting this exactly right, but sort of roughly this is what he was saying, the best thing you can do is somehow that, just like we had the opportunity, because like in the early days especially, like devotees who were like 21 became temple presidents, GBCs. Okay, that's a little extreme, but the principle is somehow to bring people into this, into Lord Chaitanya's loving network. So Akhandadi Prabhu's point, which is very well taken, is that somehow that you can give these new people when they come a little bit of the action, a little bit of something that they can own. And then just by being part of this movement, being part of this mission, they actually get the mercy, they actually start to realize what this is. So it's the same principle, whether it's the degraded hippies of the 60s, or us addicts of the 80s and 90s, or even whoever it is, but somehow the that they get exposed to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then when they come closer, then somehow that we can engage them in such a way that they actually become fixed in the service of Srila Prabhupada, and then the Krishna consciousness starts to happen, as Akhandadi Prabhu said in that talk. I remember this phrase, he said, it's when the magic starts to happen. And then they actually start feeling that, yeah, this is our mission, we belong to this mission. It's Prabhupada's mission, but you know, we're part of it. He said that this bringing them closer by giving them some engagement in the Sankirtan movement is actually when the magic happens, and when they actually start to feel that, yeah, this is our movement. So giving different contemporary examples, but I think it does connect to that point that we were both deeply affected by when we read through this chapter. You know, the idea that the associates of Lord Chaitanya, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, are always trying to give mercy. And just a kind of a concluding point on this, because the time is obviously running away with us. But it's good you have the clock right here, so you can't, it can't escape you, or you can't escape it. But one thing I noticed, because obviously, you know, we're learning. I mean, the movement's only like nearly 60 years old, so we're learning, and mistakes have been made. We're trying to learn from those mistakes. Sometimes, especially in the, I suppose, the 70s, especially the 80s, dealings between Vaishnavas could be quite heavy sometimes. So, and that kind of spilled over a little bit into the early 90s, into my days. But, you know, I think this theme that actually is there throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, there maybe isn't one chapter specifically on this theme, but it's a theme that is throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the devotees of Lord Chaitanya and how they're so kind to everyone, how they're always trying to make arrangements to bring devotees to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even in, I was just halfway through the second chapter of Antilila last night, the pastime of Junior Haridas. And even though there were reasons why things had to be the way that they were, but still the devotees of Lord Chaitanya were asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about Junior Haridas. And you'll see this theme in various places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are always acting in such a way to give the mercy to others, to bring others back to the mercy. So that was just a few rambling thoughts why this. So I think when Maharaj invited us to give the class, one of your suggestions was that we could maybe take some theme. And so this was a theme, I think, that profoundly affected us, and I suppose it became the theme, if you like, of this class, was about the devotees of Lord Chaitanya and how they act and how they try to encourage and make arrangements to bring people to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to get the mercy. Just like we saw in this chapter, Gopal, was it Gopal? The son of... I'm getting it confused. It was the son of Ramananda, the son of Maharaj Prataparudra, who went to see the Lord every day, and then he got the full mercy of the Lord, and then Maharaj Prataparudra embraced him, and then he became ecstatic. So this all came about because of the arrangements of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. So it's 8:55, I think we should finish. Hare Krishna. So just got a few minutes left of so we just take the two, oh, it's two, Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we just take those two. Dharma Mahaprabhu can answer the questions. I can't answer any questions.
I just wanted to talk, it's a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a lecture he gave in 1869, and it's called the Bhagavad, it's philosophy and ethics, and it was a lecture given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called the Bhagavad. It's philosophy, theology. It's a lecture delivered in Dinapur, 1869. And in the concluding statements, he says, "The Bhagavad, therefore, allows us to call on Vyas and Narada as Shaktivesh avatars of the infinite energy of God and the spirit of whose this text is, goes far to honour all great reformers and teachers who lived and will live in other countries. The Vaishnava is ready to honour all great men without distinction of caste because they are filled with the energy of God. See how universal the religion of the Bhagavad. It is not intended for a certain class of Hindus alone. It's a gift to man at large, in whatever country born, whatever society bred. It is in short, Vaishnavism is the absolute love binding all men together into the infinite, unconditioned and absolute God. May its peace reign forever in the whole universe and continue development of the purity of the exertion of future heroes who are blessed in accordance with the promise of Bhagavat, with the powers of the Almighty Father, Creator, Preserver and Annihilator of heaven and earth. So he's like the original Sankirtan devotee.
Hmm.
He's the inspiration. But this is in 1869. It's a wonderful example to us, because he was the original Sankirtan leader in reviving Vaishnavism. It's sort of, sorry. It was thank a long so passage. But
no, thank you so much. Yeah. That was wonderful.
Yeah, if you want to get it. I got this from Chaitanya Matt at the time. Okay.
Thank you. So because of the time, we're just... I saw two hands. One was yours, one was Chaitanya Vallabhu. So we'll just take Chaitanya Vallabhu's point and then we'll finish, I think.
Jai. Thank you so much for the wonderful class reminding us of the Sankirtan spirit. I feel ecstatic actually just hearing both of you speak there. And I was reminded, so I wanted to give a couple of reflections and one quick question, we'll see if there's time. But one thing I was thinking is that you were talking about the theme and the mood, you know, the Panchatattva, they broke open the storehouse of love of God and they distributed it freely without considering who was fit and who was unfit. So thank you for reminding us that this is what Krishna consciousness is all about. I remember when I first joined, you were talking about the good old days. I was reminiscing of the good old days. So I remember when I first joined, Godruma Prabhu was our Sankirtan leader at that time, and he would be driving the car, he would just stop and say, ask that person the way to Gauranga Street. So we'd stop the car and he'd say, ask him. So I'd say, hello, can you tell me the way to Gauranga Street? And the person would say, oh, Gauranga Street. I don't know where Gauranga Street is. And then Godrum would say, I think it's next to Nichananda Avenue. And he would say, Nichananda? I don't know Nichananda Avenue. But it was so ecstatic because the whole point was just, Sankirtan is not an activity, it's a mood. And it's the mood of sharing Krishna consciousness with everyone. I was also reminded, you were talking about some of the things that were said in the past. I remember Keshava Bharati Maharaj one time, he said, you can make more advancement during the month of December than you can during the whole year. Because during the month, so for me, like in, you know, Kartik is the holiest month, right? But for me, I always think the holiest month is December. Krishna even says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am Margashirsha, November, December. That's what Krishna says. So I always think the holiest month is December, even holier than Kartik, because it's the month of giving mercy. And when we give the mercy, then we get the mercy. And we take that extra push. So anyway, I just thought that, thank you for reminding us of that mood. I thought that point you said about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Jiva Hamsa, the envy of the living entities. Prabhupada said, or Bhaktisiddhanta said, just sitting down in a solitary place, in other words, to go and chant and perform your bhajan, going to sit down in a solitary place is materialistic activity. I mean, what a statement. If that's not telling us that we've got to get out and share this mercy, I don't know what is. But I just had a quick question also. I don't know if there's time now. But you were talking about how Lord Chaitanya, he wouldn't see Maharaj Prataparudra because he was a... Prabhupada says... he was a pounds and shillings man, something along those lines. He was materialistic. But we often hear that when we're going out, we're not supposed to be taking people's association. We're supposed to be giving association. So it seems unusual that Lord Chaitanya's in that mood. I know you said that he has, he has certain things, etiquette he has to adhere to. But it seems funny that he wouldn't see Maharaj Prataparudra when we're told that we have to give association and not take association. Surely Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can give association and not take association. And beyond that, he was a devotee. Maharaj Prataparudra was a devotee. So how do we understand that?
It was your section of the class.
Well, it seems from the text that Lord Chaitanya was actually very keen to meet Maharaj Prataprudra. Just externally he expressed utter contempt at the idea. And he used the excuse, of course, well, what would Damodar say? You know, he'll chastise me if I see the king. So, as we know, Damodar had this tendency to criticize. So that social pressure, and we see that a lot in our movement, that there's a social pressure to be whiter than white, spotless and clean, immaculate conception, without a single fault. Otherwise, you know, you shouldn't be a guru, you shouldn't be a sannyasi. So there's this tendency of extremities. And because Lord Chaitanya wouldn't be affected at all. How could he be? But yeah, and of course, you know, eventually he did see Maharaj Prataprudra did get to serve personal, very intimate personal service. So Lord Chaitanya, when suitable arrangements were made. So, yeah, I mean, what can I say? I'm just a nobody. How can I say the mind of Lord Chaitanya? But certainly there are lessons there to be learned, that these social restrictions are important because it maintains the cohesion of not just Vaishnav society, but society as a whole. And that's for the benefit of the Vaishnavas, because when society is peaceful, then everybody's devotional service can go on nicely. Our sadhana can go on nicely. It generates a calm atmosphere, which is a foundation of the developing the bhakti. So that's good. So, but when it gets in the way of the deliverance of mercy, then it becomes an impediment. And so it's almost as if Lord Chaitanya is pointing out that it's an impediment, but I'm bound by it, because whatever a great man does, common men follow. And so the social atmosphere at the time was such. So all these things have to be taken into consideration. Sometimes devotees will fight over this point. You know, we take the social consideration without any paying any heedance to the philosophical explanation of what one should do in a certain situation. And some will say, no, we should just follow the exact philosophy, the absolute truth, and dismiss the cultural obstacles that are getting in our way. But you see, Lord Chaitanya takes into consideration both, and to find that is a constant a stretch of the intelligence. Prabhupada said that requires some intelligence. How do we know where to apply and how? In the situations of different people, in different times. So that is the position of the preacher, is to stretch one's intelligence, constantly trying to figure that out, and being adaptable enough to move with the times, and to, as the modes of nature fluctuate in this material world, that we can also move with it without becoming engulfed in it. So we continue being able to be suitable, nothing actually, but to some degree we can become, I'm not sure what the word is I'm looking for.
Instruments?
Yeah, instruments, emanators of, become a via medium of mercy. So that's one way you could look at it.
Thank you. Acharya, for example.
Maharaj, do you want to make any final comment before we finish?
No, just to say thank you so much, both of you, for coming. I think it's just wonderful to hear from both of you, who have really led an incredible marathon, an incredible community of devotees, who are just inspired, just to say to all the Mana devotees as well, I'm quite fortunate I get to go to Soho more now. And when you go there, it's just the energy is palpable. I've had the fortune to go for many years, but it really is a special energy right now that you've generated there by your own leadership and just such a wonderful atmosphere. So thank you for bringing a piece of that here. And please keep coming more and more. Thank you very much. His Grace Radharaman Prabhu Ki.
Jai.
His Grace Dhammara Prabhu Ki.
Jai.
Sankirtan Yagya Ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Jai. Jai.